Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn me to Psalm 78? I'm going to deliver our last in this message related to the fact that God can furnish a table in the wilderness. And I'm going to get to my final point tonight, and that is this. The wilderness is only temporary. The wilderness is only temporary. Look with me at verse 32. For all this they sinned still, and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore their days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When He slew them, then they sought Him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless they did flatter Him with their tongue, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. Do you see the picture of their deception? Oh, they talked so well. They sought Him. They returned and inquired after God. They remembered that God was their rock. Nevertheless, they were doing it out of flattery. It wasn't real. It was fake. Verse 38. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. Underline that, please. God has never stirred up all of His wrath. One day He will, and don't you forget it. But at this point, He has never stirred up all of His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Father, I pray that You'd open our hearts to this passage, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, the wilderness is not an easy place to be in. It's a difficult place. It's dangerous. It's lonely. It's deadly. It's risky. And for many, it's hopeless. We act like we serve a poor God sometimes, don't we? That our God is somehow insufficient. It's easy to get lost in our wilderness. But it is also a place where you can learn the following. I wrote these things down. You can learn your own limitations. Have you learned your limitations? Some people think they don't have any, but you do. And you got to learn them so that you can trust God more in the areas of your what? Your limitations. That's what Paul said. God's strength was made perfect in my what? My weakness. That's what Paul said. So he had learned his limitation. He trusted in God. Lord, I have my weakness. Fill me with Your power in my weakness. You can face your own failures. That's not fun. Okay? That's rather serious, to face your own failures. I was thinking about the kicker for Dallas Cowboys back. What's his name? I don't even know if he's still with the Cowboys now. I'm sure they sent him on his way. He had five missed field goals in one playoff game, I think it was. Yeah. And, wow. Can you imagine getting up there and missing the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, and the fifth one, and you still are on the field and they haven't killed you yet? All right? Now, that young man went back to the bench, and I'm sure he was defeated. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Now, the next game, he was motivated. He came out and hit, I think, everything that he kicked. Now, sometimes we have those kind of games, all right, Christian, don't we? Where we're missing the field goals. We're missing the touchdowns. A lot of people just say, well, I refuse to admit I'm a failure. Well, you need to admit it and say, all right, Lord, I'm a failure, but I need Your power. I need Your strength. You learn your limitations. You can face your own failures. You can wrestle with temptation and win by the grace of God. Amen? You can listen to God's Word and learn something. You can see God work in unusual ways, ways that you would never imagine, and see Him work something out that you just didn't. I still need three coaches for the teams we have. I've got one T-ball team, I've got one 8U team, and I've got one 8U girls team that need a coach. And I've watched this week the Lord just one by one send me coaches. Last night on the pre-tee field, picked up three sponsors. I didn't go after them and ask them. They came to me. Do you need a sponsor? And I said, do I need hair coloring? I said, of course we need sponsors. Count on me. One of them is a guy that runs charter cruises down in Fort Walton. And I said, boy, that sounds exciting. He said, come on down, I'll give you a discount. Okay, I don't know if I really want to throw up for 3 hours, but it sounds exciting. But I got a sponsor. He said, I want to sponsor my grandchild's team. Then I had another person come up. Hey, someone was just telling me that they still need sponsors. You can count on me. Do you know I have all my sponsors for pre-tee? And I didn't ask a one. God just answered prayer. He's so good. We got to learn to trust Him. I know the Lord's going to provide the three coaches because I got three men in here right now that are going to step. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord's going to provide. He always does. He always steps up and he gives you just what you need at the right time. But we got to learn to see and watch God work in unusual ways. Learn to lean on the Lord. Do you know how to lean on the Lord? That means to trust in Him. Lean not to your own understanding. So who should I be leaning on, everybody? The Lord. Learn to lean on Him. Find strength from Him that you didn't know you had. Do I hear my amen with that? Find strength from Him that you didn't know you had. Encounter the impossible and learn what God is like. Those are things you can learn, and usually you can only learn them where? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. That's when you have to start leaning on the Lord because it's hot, it's dry, there's no water. What am I going to do? Lean on the Lord. What is your wilderness tonight? Here's some that I've listed out. An unpleasant person may be your wilderness. Oh no, now you're going to meddling. How many of you in your circle of people know at least one unpleasant person? Put both hands up, please. Okay. Ladies in the office, have we met some of those in the last couple of weeks?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Yeah, we've met some of those. I have talked on the phone with at least three or four people that said, my child is frozen. I said, there's just one problem. Your child's not registered. And your child cannot be frozen on a team until they register in the program. What? Yeah, you haven't paid a dime. You haven't registered in the program. How can you be frozen on a team? You're nowhere near a freezer. And we hear the sad stories, oh, we're going through such a difficult time. My child's been looking for this all year. And I said, you know, we started registration January the 18th. That's a whole month of registration. You mean your child did not mention it until after the last day of registration, yet they've been looking for it all year long? The most problem is they just forgot to do it, and they want you to be the bad guy. You're preventing my child from enjoying himself this spring. Like I sit up at night thinking, how can I make children's lives miserable? I know what. I'm going to have an end to registration so I can make just as many kids as possible, just as nasty and mean and ugly because I cut off registration. Obviously, you have to have an end. One lady, well, why don't you add some more teams? I said, where are we going to play? I know exactly how many kids we can take in each league with the number of fields that we have. But I also know how many coaches I have. And I also know how many sponsors I have to get. We could probably do several more teams. and we'll come play at your house. Okay? You got to have a place to play, right? People don't think. How about that unpleasant person in your life? Can that be a wilderness?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. O'Pager, thank you. Can that be a wilderness?
Yes,
it can. Unpleasant people. Here's another one. A difficult work situation. Oh boy, the Lord has taken me through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of difficult work situations. Where I've had to confront people, had to deal with things, been cussed at, hollered at, called all kinds of names. That's a wilderness. It's a wilderness. How about learning to deal with grief? Can that be a wilderness? Oh, you know it is. You know it is. When you got a loved one that's very, very sick, maybe dying of cancer. I have been by the sides of many of loved ones in this church family right here, watching them slowly die. That is not a pleasant thing. It's a hard thing. It can be a wilderness. How about losing your job? You know, when you got a friend that's the same age as you are and he's 58 years old and loses his job, what's he going to do now? You know how hard it is to find a job when you're in your late 50s and 60s and 70s? It's not easy to find work, provide for your family. How about when fear grips your heart? A fearful thing happens. I was listening to one of our congressmen who says he gets, on average, 2 death threats a week. Somehow people get his phone number. He said, I know they're buying and selling the information of congresspeople, and they get phones, numbers given out, whatever. He said, my poor wife has had to listen to horrendous threats against my life. And she has come to me and said, is it worth it? The threats against our life, 2 or 3 times a week to get that. Can that be a wilderness? Absolutely. Cancer growing inside of you. Sick child. Paralyzing depression. The family you would rather not see. You ever had family members that are just problematic? They've got lives that are wicked, and when they come around, they want to bring all their wickedness with them, and you have to deal with that. Can that be a wilderness? You're praying for them, you want them to get saved, and they just seem to just ignore completely. The young lady that called from Pennsylvania called me a few weeks ago and asked me to go visit her father over here, but I mentioned it as a prayer request. Well, he declined for me to come. She called him just to say, Pastor Todd from Grace Bible, I don't want him to come. I don't want him to come. Tell him no. So I wrote him a letter, and I included gospel tracts. I gave him a clear presentation. I said, sir, I live right down the street. If you need me day or night, call this number, and I'll come and see you. I wanted him to know I was concerned about him, but I told him, I said, your daughter is extremely concerned about you. You've got some serious health problems that could take your life at any time. And she wants to see you come to faith in Jesus Christ, just like your first wife. I left that. She told me his first wife was a born-again Christian, prayed for him all her life until she died of cancer several years ago. He got remarried to a lady that's not a Christian. And so, can that be a wilderness? That girl that called me back to tell me that, Pastor Todd, you won't be able to go see. And she was crying on the phone. I'm so concerned for my dad. He's got gangrene. He's in his 80s. I don't know if he's going to survive. I want him to be saved. And I said, I know you do. And we're going to pray for him that he'll be saved. But he's got to come to faith. He's got to put down the barriers. And he's got to repent of his sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But she's in a wilderness right now with her dad. And then some people, and this is very sad, are watching their marriages die slowly. That's a wilderness. That's a wilderness. And there are people that are struggling through that. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. Whatever wilderness you're going through, God can prepare a table. That's what it's basically saying in verse 38. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. That tells me something about the wilderness. And we need to remember this, that the wilderness is only temporary. You can get to the other side. You can make it across the vast desert. While the Lord is furnishing a table in the wilderness, you can make it to the other side, but you're going to have to bow to Him. You're going to have to bow to Him. You have to come and sit at His table. Amen? You can't sit in the living room and eat your meal. You're going to have to come and eat at the table with the Lord Jesus. He's prepared the meal. He's furnished it in the wilderness. Now you come to Him, and He'll feed you what you need. Amen? He'll give you everything that you... And while you're there, He will have fellowship with you. Oh, the fellowship time around the table with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the head of the table. I remember at Bob Jones University, they don't do this anymore, but they used to have sit-down dinners every night. And you dressed up. We had to wear a tie and a coat to go to dinner. You know how many ties I had to throw away because of stains and food drippings and all that kind of stuff? I just couldn't seem to keep it off of me. But I remember many times we would come to the table. And you got to know the people at your table when you went on a regular basis. Sometimes I wasn't able to go because of work, but I got to know some of the people, and you begin to listen to them with special needs. I found out one girl that was sitting two down from where I was sitting, and she was telling us, she said, "I'm probably going to have to leave next month." "Well, why are you going to have to leave?" "I don't have any money to pay my school bill. My mom and dad aren't supportive of me being here at Bob Jones University. I have no money." And so we all got together. We had prayer for her. We took up a little offering. I had just gotten paid from the lady I'd worked for. She said, "I'm going to bring you a plate of brownies and I'll bring your check by." And when I got back to my dorm room, there it was sitting, my plate of brownies and my check. I went and took the check and I had it in my pocket. And God just smacked me over the head and said, "Give that check to that girl down the way." So I signed it off and I gave it to her and I said, "You can take that and put it toward your school bill." Now, the girl tears started welling up in her eyes. Others gave her money. 2 weeks later, we found out her entire school bill had been paid, up to date. She could stay at school. Oh, we saw that so many times with God just furnishing a table in the wilderness. We serve a wonderful God, but you got to go to His table. You got to stop going over and eating with the world. You got to stop going over and dining over with the devil and his crowd. You get to Jesus' table and you sit down and you listen to Him talk. And you enjoy the food and the fellowship that He provides. And you'll never go hungry spiritually. And God will take care of all your needs. The question is asked, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And the answer is a loud and affirmative yes. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You so much with the knowledge that the wilderness is only temporary. Lord, so many times we start focusing inward instead of focusing upward. I pray that we might get our eyes on Thee. Help us to always be sitting at Your table. Help us to be listening to Your Word. Help us not all the time to be talking when we should be listening to You. And I pray that You'd help us to feast on the food that You have provided, the wonderful manna of the Scriptures and the water of the Word, so bountiful, but it's only provided at Your table. I pray that You'd do a work in our hearts tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.